Good to see everybody this morning. Derek, I'm sorry that we did not get the trailer family in our announcements, but you had his family in your prayers. That was the officer that was hurt in an accident, and he lost his life. And so let's keep that family in our prayers. I'll tell you, in today's world, Derek, I don't know how you go to work. I really don't. There's a target on your back, brother. And I will also say this, let's keep our brother Derek in our prayers because of that. Good to see everybody here this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the colors of silence. And somebody says, that doesn't make a bit of sense. And that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. How in the world can silence have color? Now, follow along with me in the thoughts and see if maybe, possibly, you agree. First of all, I want you to look over in Matthew, the 26th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 62 and 63. Matthew 26, verse 62 and 63. Jesus is on trial before Pilate, accusations being brought against him. And these accusations, of course, come from false witnesses that the Sanhedrin had quite a time finding because so much said was foolishness. And they came down to one point that fit the Sanhedrin's thoughts that Jesus was a false teacher, even though they understood exactly what he was talking about. And the accusation made was, this man said that he would destroy the temple and in 3 days raise it again. Well, that's blasphemy. 46 years in the building, as they had told him when he first said that over in the book of John. And now he says that he'll rebuild it in 3 days. They knew exactly what he was talking about. As a matter of fact, they demonstrated that at his burial. Because the Sanhedrin went to Pilate and said, make sure that the stone is sealed with your seal so that none take away. Because the deceiver said, in 3 days I will rise again. Jesus never told them directly those words. He told his disciples, his apostles, those words, but never told the Sanhedrin those words whatsoever. But that was the accusation that was made. And when we look at this in Matthew 26, 62 and 63, it says, the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. Jesus kept silent. As a matter of fact, when we look at the accusations against Jesus, every time that there was a false accusation made against Jesus, Mark 14, verse 61 beginning, Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 66 beginning, and John, the 18th chapter, verse 37, whenever there was false accusation made against Jesus, he said nothing. He did not answer. Whenever he was asked, are you the Son of God? He replied, you understand. You say that I am. Yes, I am, in essence. It was a Hebraic expression. And he's saying, you are correct. I am the Son of God. And he made statement concerning that. But when it was accusation against him, he didn't say a word. Well, why did he not say a word? Because in that situation, in that case, the color of silence was absolutely golden because Jesus had come for a purpose. And that was to die upon the cross. Hebrews 10 chapter and verse 5, sacrifice and offering thou hast made, hath not desired but a body thou hast given me. And so he knew his purpose that was there. He knew that he had to die on the cross for the salvation of our souls. And he didn't answer those false accusations because it was foolishness. And they all knew it was foolishness and they knew that it was lies. They just wanted their way. They wanted to put him out of the way to protect their so-called position in society. But whenever Jesus would not answer with the false accusations that was made against him, silence was golden at that time. You think about that, and I believe that there is an application that we need to learn from that, and from not just false accusations, but from several other aspects. First of all, silence is golden when there are emotions that are running high. And emotions running high sometimes take place among brethren. My thoughts, whenever Paul and Barnabas got into their debate, their dissension, I'm going to suppose that they wish that that had not taken place and the words between them had not been spoken. But I've seen this over time. And when we look in Matthew, the 5th chapter and verse 9, Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount, as He begins it in the 5th chapter, says there in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." I've been in congregations in the past that did not have elders. And there was what is known as business meetings. And being the preacher in congregations where there were no elders and there were business meetings, at least till I could do some teaching for us to figure a different way, and there is a different way other than business meetings for those congregations to handle their business. I urge them, when you come to a business meeting, bring your Bibles. And to this day, those congregations that I was in, that I urged them to bring their Bibles, no one ever brought their Bible to a business meeting. And why was that? Well, they had an agenda. And one brother, in essence, he didn't say it exactly like this, but I'll just paraphrase in what I believe he meant because of the words that he used. It was almost like he was saying, the Bible has no place in business meetings. I don't know where the Bible has no place at any time, in any situation, in any place. It is there to direct us and to guide us. And we are not to be in a situation where we outvote one another and we politic against one another and we push our way and the emotions get high and we get upset. And I've seen that in business meetings before. But it's not only in business meetings, it's in things that take place in congregations. People have a certain way they want things done. You think about that. Here we are this morning, we're in a building, we have a thermostat. That can be handled in several different ways with that thermostat. Because there are some that say it's too cold, others that say it's too hot. Some of you will start fanning before this sermon is over. I understand it. Others of you will be covering yourselves up, and I understand that. Some of you have sweaters on this morning. It's going to be 100 degrees this afternoon. I don't understand that. But that's from a personal standpoint. It could be handled the way that one brother handled it several years ago. He was a CEO over a major corporation. And they were in a very large, high-rise building in downtown Houston. And he looked at the situation. It was becoming out of hand because there would be people that would walk by the thermostat and turn it up. And then a little bit later, somebody would come and turn it down. It was up and down all day. And so what he did, he stayed late one evening. And he had ordered a thermostat. That was a dummy thermostat and put in its place. And then the real thermostat that really controlled the air conditioning was put in his office behind a closet door. And what he said I found from that is that people were just as happy as they could be because they would walk by and they'd turn it up and others would walk by and turn it down and everyone was happy. Brethren, elders, maybe you want to think about that. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I've seen people get so emotional and so upset over the temperature in the building. And I understand those that are cold, they can put more clothes on. It's a shame to wear a parka in the summertime, but I understand they can. But if you get so hot, I understand that we'll only allow so much clothing taken off. And I understand that. And it's not what it is that we need to find a consensus in that. But emotions will run high over everything. The color of the carpet, the color of the pews, configuration of the building. There's been fights, there have been splits. Brethren have not talked to one another, have not talked to one another for years because of those situations that come up. Let me tell you, when those things come up, when the emotions run high, silence is golden. Silence of gold. Jesus, in the situation, the emotions were running high. And don't you think that he did not have the power to eloquently show, from a legislative standpoint, first of all, everything that was being done wrong against him and the foolish accusation that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days, because they understood that he was talking about the resurrection of his body. And he could have done all that, but silence was golden because of the situation, because of what he had to do for us on the cross. And the same thing is true with us. Not about us going to the cross. About us, of course, with my next point, and that is always making sure that we maintain fellowship and friendship. And that's another aspect to this. And I'll put especially here in connection with Silas being golden whenever we want to make sure that fellowship is maintained. And when we look at this, we turn over to Proverbs, the 18th chapter and verse 19, which is one of our readings. I put all of the readings of Proverbs that I have in this lesson in that reading this morning. Brandon, thank you for reading that for us. And there it says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. I've seen brethren that had been friends for years and get to some point where the emotions were running high, where words were said that should not have been said. And even accusation made because they wanted their own way, which will be our next point. And they said something that offended a brother, that was hurtful, just because one brother wanted to have his own way. And they didn't speak to one another for the rest of their lives. Now, isn't that a shame? And that's, of course, the point that's being made here in Proverbs 18, chapter and verse 19. When we look in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1, Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with this same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, strive for unity. Understand, expect suffering. It's going to come to those that are Christians. And what we look at is that maintaining of fellowship, and sometimes the best way to do that is to bite the lip and let silence be golden. Let silence be golden. And the same thing is true where we have a certain way that we know is the way that it should be. And that's always interesting when you look at that, because you ask somebody else and they'll say, no, that's not the way it should be. But there's no one person that has all the answers of how things should be, because there are different circumstances, desires, wants, cares, concerns, and so forth from every individual in this building this morning. Now, there should be the spiritual where we have the same mind. And that should be constant between us, always, and without variation. But when we look over in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and verse 30, do not strive with a man without cause. In other words, what he's saying here, and we'll finish that verse in just a moment, why bring up something that doesn't matter? Why do that? And that's what he's saying here. And there are those that just cannot help themselves, it seems. They just, if it doesn't suit them exactly in the way that they want things done, I've got to bring it up. Why? Especially if it's not in connection with that which is scriptural or spiritual, but it is of opinion. What's the point? Is it to rub in, to stick the knife in somebody, to let them know that you disagree? I have to let them know that I disagree. Why? What's the point with opinions? And then he goes on and says, if he has done you no harm. In other words, why even bring it up? We look in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 4. And Paul says there, let nothing be done through strife or selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for also for the interest of others. And the reason being is that everybody has an opinion. Everybody recognizes that there are differences of opinion. But here is what is being told to us by Paul, and also by Solomon in Proverbs, is that we should seek, because opinions are involved in so many things. Matter of fact, the majority of splits that take place in sound congregations are not about scriptural matters, but about opinions. So we should seek for consensus, recognizing really what does matter. And really what does matter is our soul salvation and being one in mind in connection with the truth that is presented to us. Having that same goal. I want to serve the Lord, and I want to be in fellowship with my brethren. As a matter of fact, it was a foundational statement that was made in connection with what the Christians did when the church first started in Acts, the 2nd chapter, in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship. It's that foundational aspect that is given, that element that is there that we should strive for and not look to the things concerning opinions and make it a matter of fellowship. But then also, silence is golden when we don't have the answer. When we don't have the answer. I'll use this in two ways. First of all, from the standpoint of when the Scripture is silent. Yes, Stephen, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. That which has been revealed unto us, that's given to us to understand, to follow, to take into our heart and into our mind. But that which is silent in Scripture, we don't press. Daryl is absolutely sure that John Mark left on that first preaching journey because when they got to land, he didn't want to walk. Now everybody understands that that certainly isn't right. Because what he didn't want, he saw all the trouble that was taking place beginning there on the island of Cyprus, and that's why he left, right? And we'll take a vote on that later. The fact of the matter is, we're not told, are we, Darrell? We're not told. And I've seen issues like that arise among brethren. Over the silence of the Scripture. Let me tell you, the silence of the Scripture is just as authoritative as the active, proactive statements that are made in Scripture. I'll give you an example of that. Acts 20 and verse 7, very simple verse, we all know it. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. What day are we to remember the Lord's death? First day of the week. Well, it doesn't say we can't do it at weddings, we can't do it at funerals, we can't do it at birthday parties. It doesn't say that, does it? Yes, it does, through the silence of the Scripture. It says, no, don't do that. Nor any other day of the week. It says that. And we understand that. And sometimes it's so hard, especially I think for preachers, Brother James, to say, when asked a question, whenever the Bible doesn't reveal it, it's so hard to say, I don't know. And the preacher that is worth his salt will not present something that is of the silence of the Scripture to make his point about that because it's from the standpoint of opinion. Correct? Amen. Thank you, brother. So that's one aspect of I don't know the answer. But also look with me in connection with what is said in Proverbs 11, verse 2, 13, and verse 10, and 29, and verse 23. First of all, Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. And here you have a passage of Scripture that I think that we've seen, that speaks against things that we've seen before. Have you ever discussed with someone, a matter that is not a matter of opinion, but is a matter of fact, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in code, in computer language, whether it be from Scripture, where the absolute statement is made and cannot be denied? How many times have you seen, rather than saying, oh, okay, now I understand that a person say that, they then make the attack against the person? Let me tell you, when we're wrong, silence is golden. When we don't have that answer, when we're wrong, silence is golden. As a matter of fact, it's so golden, it is so precious to the point that it shows our humility and it teaches. Our silence then teaches. It is golden. And we see also as we look in Proverbs 13, verse 10, but pride, by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised, those that have really searched out to know what truth is. Opinions, those don't matter. But those that need to really, those that have the truth and understand the truth, he says from that, the well-advised act from the standpoint of wisdom. Then we see as we look also in Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And the humble in spirit are able to say, I was wrong or I didn't know. And now, thank you, brother. Thank you, friend, for showing me what the truth was. And so, silence in these situations are golden. They're priceless. They're priceless. When we learn the ability to keep our mouths shut in certain situations. As a matter of fact, when we look in Proverbs 11 and verse 12, It says, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." He recognizes when it's time to speak, and he recognizes when it's time to be quiet. And so I ask us this morning on this first point, because we've only got one color, and you see the word color here is plural because it has an S, with silence being golden, I ask each and every one of us, do we have the strength to make silence golden in our lives? But we have another color to go through. Turn with me to 1 Kings 18 chapter and verse 21. 1 Kings 18 chapter and verse 21. Ahab is king of Israel. He is an idolater with an idolatrous wife, and they are vicious, unmerciful, uncaring, and they are living in disrespect of God, devoid of truth and morals. And they have taught the people to follow after idolatry. God sends Elijah to put this matter to a rest, at least at that point. And so Elijah says, "Bring all of your prophets of Baal to Ahab. Bring all of them, and we're going to have a contest to show who is the true God of heaven." And we remember the account that there's a bullock taken by the false prophets of Baal. He's cut up. He's placed upon an altar, and they begin to cry for the majority of the day, at least a half a day and even more, for Baal to send fire down and consume that sacrifice that is on the altar to show that he is the true God. And even Elijah at that time makes fun of them. Cry a little bit louder. Maybe Baal is asleep with his children in bed. Maybe cry a little bit louder because Baal, he's on a journey and he can't hear you. You need to cry louder. And they cut themselves and they cried louder. And the sacrifice went unburnt. And we remember that. But here is what is stated before God showed himself to be true. When we see it in 1 Kings 18 chapter and verse 21. "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him.'" And now we have a statement of silence and a different color other than golden. We now have the color of yellow. "And the people opened not their mouth, the people said not a word." What a shame. Because in just a little while after this, they would see fire come down from heaven, and it would lap up all the water that Elijah had said needed to be poured on the sacrifice and in the trenches around the sacrifice and the sacrifice itself. And they would see that power, but they had been silent. They were yellow, children of God, the children that were chosen by God, children of Israel, that would not confess the name of God. What a shame, and how yellow that was. And silence then at that point became yellow. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped in some circumstances. First of all, when the truth is attacked. When people say there is no truth, or the truth that they have is really the truth of their own, or is the truth of their own following after religions of men and philosophies of men. Whenever the attack is made against truth and we keep our silence, it is no longer golden, it becomes yellow. And we see over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 13 through 15, Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Get that, the truth. There is a standard of truth. There's an absolute truth. "To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught you, whether by word or our epistle." Whether we preached it to you in person or whether we write a letter to you, stand fast for the truth and do not let it be maligned. Because if you do, you're yellow. You're yellow. But we also see it when brethren are attacked. when there is the attack against brethren. And I will tell you, I have seen that in my life, and I tell you that I have been involved in that situation. Where I have been preaching the truth, and there was attack against me for my preaching, and not one brother stood by my side. I've been in that situation. And when we look at this, we think back to what is stated in Proverbs 17:17 to start with. A friend loves at all times. Stop right there for just a moment. I'll stand beside you at all times as long as there's no conflict. I'll stand beside you at all times as long as I still look good whenever I come out on the other side. I'll stand by you all times as long as I don't have to have conviction. And where that takes place, that silence is yellow. Wherever there is a call for conviction. Wherever there is a call for conviction. We see in Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. You want to show you're a child of God when there are struggles taking place, and you need to stand for the truth, and with your brother, stand for your brother that's in the truth. That's what he's saying there. I was in a congregation one time where there was a couple that had been visiting for a period of time. This couple had been in at one point in their life, actually for many years, in a congregation that was sound. And they had since become disillusioned. As a matter of fact, because they weren't getting their way, they played the race card. And that was the way that they wanted to get their way. If you play the race card, well then people will give in. That was their thoughts. And they came and they visited with us for a while. And there was a sister that did as she always did in welcoming them in and shook their hands. And they'd been hearing the truth taught. They'd been hearing the truth about what they were being involved in. They'd heard that truth taught. And evidently it started to bother them, because here was the accusation that was made against that sister and thus against the preacher. She didn't shake hands with me as I was walking out. Did she greet you when you walk in? Yes, but she didn't shake hands with me whenever I was walking out. And there was an elder in that congregation that had been friends with them and would not stand up to them, and he should have been the one to do that, to show their foolishness. But he would not do that. His silence, in a sense, was yellow. And I will tell you, as I've told you before, people that are looking to get their way and get their feelings hurt will find a way to get it done. They'll find a way to get it done. And there will become then all sorts of accusations that are made. But we are to stand with our brethren. And we see that as we look through the teaching of the gospel, and especially in Paul's writing, where he talks about those that had left him and so forth, and he even gave warning in a personal letter to Timothy over one man that had done him wrong. Alexander has done me much harm. Watch out for him. And so he was watching out for his brethren. That's the way that we should be. Now, the fact of the matter is, we need to understand what the fact of the matter is when there are differences of opinions or things that take place. And we need to understand that. But when the truth is understood, we stand with those that are on the side of the truth. We do. If we don't, we're yellow. If we don't, we're yellow. And it's not just about brethren. It's about family. And let me tell you, family is attacked day in and day out. Some of you have children that are going to public school. They are the ones that this society wants to hear the lies, wants to hear the untruths, and turn them away from the Lord, and will say anything in order to get that done, including people of faith are stupid. without recognizing that what they are promoting is from their own faith. They're a person of faith also. It just happens not to be the faith from the gospel. And parents, if you have children in public school, you have to be especially cognizant of the attacks that are continually made and teaching them away from those lies and showing them the truth. And you let up for just a little bit, and let me tell you the sequence that will happen, you lose them. It's a one-step deal. You lose them. And so your silence is yellow if you don't stand up for the truth, even with your own family and your own children. We also see that we need to make sure that we're not yellow when it comes into connection with the lost. In other words, we keep silence whenever there's an attack against those that are lost. Maybe that we're teaching. And we see that happen when we look over it in Acts 13, chapter verse 8 through 10 with Elymas, the sorcerer, who tries to turn Sergius Paulus away from the truth. And here's what Paul says. Well, you know, we're just going to agree to disagree, so I'm going to let Elymas say what he wants to say, and then I'll say what I have to say, and then we'll leave it up to Sergius Paulus. He can make up his own mind. No. O thou child of the devil, how long will you withstand God? It's going to be now that you are blind for a season so that you will know who is the power from on high. I paraphrase. But that's what Paul said, and Elymas was struck blind for a season. Have there been anybody that you've studied with that you started maybe to get to understand the truth from God's Word because it is truth, and then someone tries to come in from behind, and then have you just pulled back? If you do, you're yellow. You're yellow. You stay with teaching them. As a matter of fact, you confront the issue and the problem to make sure that the truth is really presented and stood for, and that lost soul that is so precious, if you have any ability in teaching the truth, that you can help save that lost soul. And so our silence in that situation, again, would be yellow. And then also when God Himself, when deity is attacked, will we stand for the truth or will we be yellow? When we look over in Jude 8 and 9. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignities, that is deity and power. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now understand, the pronouncement of hell fire is in God's, it is in God's realm and not ours. But yet at the same time, we stand for our God. And we stand for the one that gave His life for us. And we don't let His name be dragged through the mud, because holy is His name. And anything other than that, our silence then is yellow. Our silence is yellow. And so I want you to look at these two colors of silence. It's a sermon. It is a lesson on when to be silent and when not to be silent. And that, by your determination, when you are silent, goes back to the amount of wisdom that you have. It goes back to the wisdom that you have. And James, the first chapter, beginning in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Let's act in wisdom. And let's make sure that our silence is golden and not yellow. We may have those in the audience that are not children of God. One thing that you're called upon to do, let's go ahead and get this up to your mind, brother, is to name the name of Christ. Just as the Ethiopian nobleman did in Acts 8, chapter and verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me tell you what. He spoke when he needed to speak because of the teaching that he received. And if you're not willing to do that, you need to recognize, and I'm saying this in a very kind way, but in a very absolute way, you're yellow. Because maybe you're looking around at the world today, you know, if I make a commitment to Christ, I'm going to be viewed as odd. Let me help you with that. The answer to that is yes, you will. If I take the stand for Christ Jesus, people are going to think that I'm a person of faith. Yes, you are. If I stand for the Lord, people are going to attack me. Yes, they will. But let me tell you who you have on your side. You have the God of heaven if you'll become a child of God. And your actions in obedience to God's word, because you've not remained silent, is golden. It's unto the salvation of your souls. If you need to be baptized this morning for remission of your sins, will you please do that? Those of us that are Christians, let's be silent when you need to be silent. Let us speak forth with all conviction from the truth. And never let that pass by, that opportunity that we have, because it's about soul salvation. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.